1, 2, 1, 2. There we go. Yes, baby, we're back in the building, the Unapologetic Perspective, man. We had to figure out some, we had some technical difficulties over here, but we figured it out. Once again, it's the Unapologetic Perspective. Hey, I missed y'all. I know y'all missed the episodes, and I want to say thank you to everybody who's supporting. I'm getting a lot of feedback from people, and I appreciate you guys supporting it, man. I do this thing. It's a passion project of mine. So I'm not doing it because I want 100 million hits. I just want to put my perspective out there on things and start a conversation on some real shit, man. Like, I'm not pandering to motherfuckers. I'm not doing this because I want likes or attention or any of that shit. I'm doing this because I feel like we have to start having real conversations about things that are relevant. A lot of times, man, I believe in media and journalism, we pander to get hits and we put out content sometimes, man, that's not the best and not healthy for the sake of just putting out content because it's going to make money. It's going to, you know, get us likes, all of these other different things. And that shit isn't good. With that being said, I got my boy CP in the building, man.
What to do, what to do?
What's happening, fam?
Survival.
Man, I can dig it, man. But you're not really surviving, though, homie.
You're doing
above. You like in the top 1%, man. Like my guy was saying the other day, man. Like, if you make over $100,000 a year, man, you like in the top 1% of the nation.
But you ain't bringing in no hundred, man. I'm out here pandering. I'm getting pandered right now. I like that word you're using, pandering. I'm getting pandered.
Man, you got to take the good with the bad, though, right?
It's all bad, man. It is bad, man. I'm a slave, man. Don't ever forget, man. You got a job, you're a slave, man. You're a slave to society and what they feel is right and wrong and what they feel is how business goes. And, you know, I'm just a number at work, you know, so I'm working on my own business and that's it.
That's the end game, right? Just to do your own thing.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I got to force myself to go to work every morning.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's the same for me, man. I love what I do. I like fixing things, man. I get a sense of satisfaction from it, but I know I can do it for myself. And it's like, if I can make this person a certain amount of money, why can't I just do it for myself? And I listen to a lot of people say, man, I want to own a business, but I want people to work for me. And I'm like, out the gate, you might have to work for yourself. Like, keep that in mind, that you're going to be the driving force behind your business. Some motherfuckers be wanting to go from zero to 100, where it's like, oh, I had a job, now I got employees and shit, man. But the hardest part, I believe, about running a business is managing employees, man. That shit is super fucking hard, you know. So you got to keep that in mind, man. When I start my own thing, and I'm in the process of doing my own thing now, I'm going to work for myself, you know, initially. And when I find somebody who has the drive and the know-how that I do, then I'll bring them in, incorporate them into the business, and we'll work it out. And, you know, you can show and prove with this shit. If you can show and prove, maybe I even make you, you know, more than just an employee. But anyway, man, with that being said, I want to get back to what I was talking about earlier.
The bitches. No.
That too. No, I'm just... I want to get back to what I was talking about, man, with this journalism thing, man. Because it's been one of them weeks, man, where it's been a back and forth in media, largely over somebody who's deceased right now. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant.
My dog.
And I feel like we need to let this man's legacy rest. We need to look at... We act as if this man was fucking Saddam Hussein when it comes to
the hoes.
Yeah. You know, he had one thing. This was 2003, right? How old was the man when this supposed, these allegations of rape came up?
24?
He was 24 years old. We don't want to take that into consideration. He's been branded something that I believe to not be true only because of the evidence.
Well, that's because when you're black, you're automatically guilty.
But you're guilty, period, out the gate.
It's like, it's crazy how that brings something up. It's not like, okay, then they compared him to OJ. Try to be like, you know, you look at it, they try to say something about OJ, and it's like, you know, his status level didn't necessarily put him above the situation, but it just comes down, OJ went to trial. You're comparing him to somebody that went to trial.
Yeah.
And versus somebody who, there was not enough evidence, and they did a rape kit and everything on this woman. There was not enough evidence to produce the fact that he actually raped her. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So you're putting him, you're putting a woman's accusation on you.
Yeah.
You know, and she was a white woman in America, especially at that time, 2003. It ain't like it's crazy different than now, but, you know, still at that time, somebody yelled rape, you're going down, you know, versus, all right.
Pull your mic in a little bit.
You know, basically what ended up happening was, you know, he was going to court. You go to preliminary hearings and stuff. They decide, okay, do we have enough evidence to bound him over? You know, even one of her friends, when I was reading the article, she was telling a story about certain things too. And it's like, this woman voluntarily snuck herself into his room, basically so that, you know, people wouldn't see that she went in there because, you know, he's a married man, whatever the case, the situation. Like, yeah, he might have been doing shit he shouldn't be doing outside of his marriage. But, you know, a rapist, like, call him what he is. If anything, call him a cheater or something.
Yeah, he's right? An infidel.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But as far as being a rapist, like, you're putting an accusation on somebody. But it's like, for them to wait till he dies to, now you want to talk about it again?
Right.
Like, you know, when he was alive, you wasn't saying, oh, Kobe Bryant's still a rapist. But it's like, let's do what we can to tarnish another black man's legacy. I don't know if it's the media. And it's sad when they put your own black women on you to do it. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, you didn't see the white commentators come out with it first or even make it pop. Or even if they do say, they did say something first.
It's to be expected.
You got to look, yeah. Things are to be expected because they don't ever want the black man to be on top. Everything they teach you in school is the white man invented it. The white man started. The white man did it first. The white man discovered this, this, and that. But the truth is in a lie right there. You know, they discovered, they came to a land that they discovered.
Yeah.
And it was people here. But well, they teach kids they discovered it. But, you know, they want to keep the white man on top. So everybody's glorifying Kobe Bryant. Let's bring up something that tarnishes his legacy. And this is all we got against him. So let's use it.
Well, Eddie Griffin said something that was interesting to me. He said they want every black man to have an asterisk in front of their name. You know what I'm saying? He said name. And he had the guy name off, you know, one of our legends. You know, he named off a few of them. And he was like Michael Jackson, child molester. You know what I'm saying? Kobe Bryant, rapist. You know what I'm saying? He likes, they want every black man to have an asterisk in front of their name. And it seems like, man, this is true. Because when we speak about other people, man, like, we don't even talk about the fact that people like Charlie Sheen have been accused. There's mad accusations out there about him and the things that he's done.
Right.
But we're entertained. And this is the thing that I think is important. I feel like they kind of do it with the help of us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They do it with the help of us because we find it mad fucking entertaining, you know. Gayle wouldn't have put that interview out had it not been a thing. We've been doing this. We did it to Michael Jackson. We've been able to get this thing off. And we found that it's profitable. And people are okay with it. So why not push the limit? Why not go into that subject matter? They knew exactly what the fuck it was they was doing with this whole Kobe Bryant thing. And she wants to sit back and pretend like that clip came out without her knowledge of it being promoted. That's bullshit. You knew exactly what it is that you were doing.
It's an excuse, but it... What's sad about it is, it's like, okay, she wasn't going to run that same special on Oprah.
Yeah.
When they brought it up on Oprah supporting, what's his name, that one dude, that
Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to sit there and run it on her because she's your friend.
Yeah.
But then you want to sit there and tell, like, and are you asking Oprah, did you see this? Or, you might not see it. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know because that's your friend. So you don't see what your friend does. Like,
right.
You don't see them as doing wrong because that's your friend. You're not sitting here running that shit to Oprah, but you're running down on her. Like, when you, like, okay, listen, you brought it up. You asked Lisa if you thought, you know, he was wrong or he was a bad dude for that, or if you noticed it, you asked Lisa Leslie, and she said, no, you know, I don't think he's that kind of guy, and this and that, and woo-to-woo from being around.
But she kept pushing the narrative.
You pushing the narrative on her to try to get a different response. You should have let it die when she told you. The crime, the charge was dropped. Anybody could get hit with he said, she said. You can do that to Antonio Brown, too, because a couple women said that he raped them. That man ain't going to jail. He ain't going to prison. It don't look bad on him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But are you going to do that to every single person?
Yeah. I feel like a lot of times all a woman has to do is say that a man has done something to her. And without there even being any good evidence, that's who that person automatically becomes.
Everybody side with.
Yeah, the worst thing that you could do is perpetuate a crime against a female. And if one accuses you, we're not even going to look at the character of the person who's doing the accusing.
It's always like that in this world, though.
Yeah.
When the police come.
Yeah.
Somebody got to go to jail. Most of the time, it's the man got to go.
Right.
Somebody got to leave the house. Most of the time, it's the man that got to leave.
Yeah.
But this is my house, too. We're going to side with the woman.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it just... you know, is a double standard world we live in.
It
and,
is.
And I live by double standards to some degrees.
Yeah.
I mean,
we all do.
If men want to fuck a bunch of bitches and be hoes, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, wash it off and go about our day.
Yeah.
But if a woman doing it, she can't wash him off. Like, you know, and it's like men won't take a lot of women serious that are, you know, out here fucking like that, you know, just being serial hoes or whatever the case. Like, a lot of men won't take a woman serious when she decides she want to be with a nigga now, right?
Yeah.
But if a female hears about a man being a hoe, she gonna, you know, he changed. She'll take him back and give him a chance.
Man, it's actually attractive to women. We'll talk about that. Women like to see men, man, and they actually attracted to men who have women.
They want skill set.
Man, you ever go somewhere with a woman? I mean, actually go out with a woman and see how many women are looking at you, yeah, man. Women tend...
And yeah. I be with some white bitches sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I be with some white bitches or Asian or something like that. They be like, oh, man, look at her. Look at this sellout. I be like, yeah, bitch.
Yeah, man, they be in competition with each other, man. But
I fuck with the sisters, too. I be with anybody. You feel me? I don't care. Yeah. I don't discriminate. But I'm just saying sometimes when I do be with someone, like my baby, my Mexican, right?
Yeah.
And they, you know, they might used to see me with her and be like, oh, you know, taking all our good black men. Nah, man, it's, you know, so many black men and so many black people and so many everything. Don't be mad because it ain't you this time.
Well, this is the thing, man, that I feel, man, and that, you know, just bringing it back to this whole subject, man, we so divided in this nation, man. We find every reason to be divided, and especially within our so-called race. We got to put things into perspective, man. Black is not a race. White is not a race. You know what I'm saying? And it's not a fucking ethnicity, man. At the end of the day, man, I watched a video where this African guy was saying that we're not African. Basically African-Americans. He was like, they're not African. They've been there for 300 years. You know what I'm saying? We don't need their help. We don't need them here. And if you really look at it, man, most Africans don't really consider us their brothers in that sense. And even if they do deal with us in some way, they kind of think they better than us. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think that they think they better than us. What it comes down to is this. Maybe disappointed in us. Because it's like, okay, they sit back there, you know, with their spears and chuckers. No, I'm playing. They sit back there in Africa, right? And then, you know, they don't have, like, there are a lot of places in Africa that's very civilized.
Yeah, yeah.
Built up, Nigeria, beautiful cities, skylines, yeah. All that old shit.
Right.
But there are still places in Africa that are real rural.
Yeah.
And that don't, worse than rural. Rural third country, don't have the running water. You see Akon helping them with the lights and all that shit. There's places that just don't have it.
Yeah.
And there's places that, you know, they're going to school and they're getting these great grades and it's like, everything, they have to put their all into it so that they can get out their country, get a visa to come here and go to school and take advantage, become doctors and everything. And then they sit back and look at us here in America, like, y'all got all the opportunity, not just Africa, Jamaica, any other country. Y'all got all this opportunity, and yet y'all want to sit around and be gangbangers and kill each other.
Yeah, I get that. But when you're looking at a thing from an outside perspective, it's easy to say this is what it is, man. And I don't agree with us at all with a lot of things, man. I swear I had to get out of my own way to become the man I am today. But they're contending with different issues than we are. You know, this is a system, man, largely, man, you know, we're going to talk about it in a later podcast, man, because I don't, you know, I'm not a liberal.
But even then,
largely we have a government, man, who's given us what people would call the golden handcuffs. They've, anytime we've been able to make something happen for ourselves, a lot of times, man, they destroy it. You know, and then they bring in these systems of oppression that we don't see as oppression. We think that they're things that are helping us out, and they're actually the golden handcuffs. They're keeping us in a bad position, such as welfare and all of these different things. So they don't understand that, man. A lot of times, struggle is your best friend. You know, not being given something is your best friend, man. But that's for a later episode.
Well, we not necessarily given nothing in America. I mean,
it's the golden handcuffs.
You do have the like certain things, but just as far as opportunity goes. We can just talk, just straight education.
Yeah.
There's opportunity in education. When you educate yourself, you become educated. It's not necessarily mean getting a degree.
Right.
But when you have access to resources of education to fill your brain, your mind, and you can do things, you know, that's what they don't have. You know, having
access to the things that'll make them be able to be put themselves in a better position. So they come here and they seek those things out and They accomplish their dreams.
But they take care of their family.
Yeah, but they don't have to contend. And most people, because Nigerians are like, they have like the number one household with the highest income right now. You know what I'm saying? Most people who come from other countries, man, they take advantage of the opportunities. Like I said, I think a large part of it is, man, we have a sense of entitlement here. And that comes from all of these systems that have been put in place to pacify us. When I say that, I hate welfare, man. I hate these things that have been put in place where they say, okay, we're helping you out. You're not really helping me out. You know what I'm saying? What you can do is create jobs and opportunities and education. Those things will help me out.
Nah. We got to build a wall first.
You got to build a wall?
We got to build a wall first. We can't have no, we can't make homeless shelters. We got to build a wall first. You know, we gotta get some concentration camps to put these little kids in. And, you know, we're gonna apply our resources for that.
Because
that's America. That's what we do.
Yeah, man. I mean, if they can't capitalize off it in this country, man. But, you know, I just really feel a lot of times, man, we have all of these things put in place that divide us from each other. And at the end of the day, man, we all fucking American. You know, I'm getting around to the fact and the idea that we all American, man.
Malcolm X once said, if we American, if I'm an American, why you treat me like a second race citizen? And the shit ain't changed. I ain't from America.
You can declare your sovereignty. You got to go through the process, but you'll be a man without a country. You're not, you can't go to Africa and claim to be African. You would have to go through a process of getting citizenship there to become an actual African.
I'm not worried about titles.
You just want to get rid of all the titles altogether?
I don't give a fuck. I'm just me.
Like, yeah.
If I got an American passport, I got an American passport.
Yeah.
Wherever I go, I'm just me.
No doubt.
I'm of the people. I'm from the Caribbean.
Do you have white friends?
White friends?
Yeah.
I got a couple white people I like.
Yeah.
I got some white people I do like that I might socialize with a little bit. I do have some white people that I'm cool with, even at work. I work amongst probably 90% white people.
That you think are solid?
There's a couple people I do think is solid, and I would, I like them.
Yeah.
When you say a friend is someone that maybe you keep in touch with often outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have too many of them.
Yeah.
Like, I know, you know, I got an Irish brother. You feel me like that? And he's played soccer out here in the States. And, you know, we linked up, you know what I'm saying, for the first time. We were just tight. You know what I'm saying? Going crazy, get drunk. You know, I had his back. He had my back. It was crazy. Like, one day, just boom. It was like, whole weekend, just outside. Just doing shit, whatever. And I fuck with him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Certain people like that, I consider like you know what I'm saying? Like, bros, like, you know, that's really good intent. Like, not with no bullshit.
Yeah, they don't have. You can tell, like, it don't matter.
And his baby mama's black.
Yeah.
But he's not a white person trying to pretend to be black. He's an Irishman, and that's who he is.
Exactly.
You know, he bang out. Like, he's a bang out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
He is who he is.
He's a white Irishman, right? And
yeah.
It's like, I respect people like that because often you might catch white people that want to have black friends, so they try to act black.
Yeah.
It's like, be who you are. And we can still be cool.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be who I am, and we could be amongst each other. I don't like the white people that try too hard to be white.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and the black people that don't want to familiarize with themselves. You don't have to act ignorant to be black or act black. But when you don't familiarize with who you are, and you don't associate with other black people because you only want to associate yourself with white people, and that's who you're comfortable around.
Yeah.
I don't fuck with them kind of people either.
Yeah. You know, I say all of that, and I ask that question because I've had, you know, white mentors, white friends, and I mean solid people, man. What I found is, man, living here in America, man, it doesn't matter the skin color. Some people are just going to be solid with you, and some people aren't, man. I know a lot of black people, a lot of my own so-called people that aren't solid with me, man. They're around because of what I got. They in survival mode, and so they use everybody around them. They in competition, they doing all of these different things, man. And then I know white people that are the same way. But I also, like, one of my first mentors and one of the people who've been the best to me, man, never wanted anything from me, has helped me out, you know, whenever I've come to him for anything, man, and nothing financial, just education, opportunity, things like that, was a white guy. You know, to this day, man, I go and see him, man. And whenever I see him, he's just like, what you doing? How can I help you? Let me show you some information that'll help you get to that next step that you want to be as far as your life is concerned. That's help. Not giving me a couple of $100 or anything like that. I say all of that to say, man, I think sometimes we like to divide ourselves along lines, man, when regardless of what a person's skin color is, there's good and bad and everything. So I think that we have to just see ourselves as maybe what you said, individuals, or as I think to be Americans, man, because this is our fucking country. This is our country, whether they want to say it or not. They want to tell us to go back home. Nah, motherfucker, we built this country. We built this. Our ancestors built this country. This is our country. We sweated it out for this motherfucker. So at the end of the day, I think we have to put all of those things to the side that are easily divisive and saying, okay, man, I'm white, you black, and this is what makes us different. And say, no, man, those people over there, I don't agree with because they have a certain idea about life. You know what I'm saying? And these people over here, I agree with because we have the same ideas about life, you know. And I think that that's the problem, man, when we start to look at people like Gail and Oprah and shit. Gail and Oprah ain't our fucking sisters, man. You know what I'm saying?
They sold out.
They in a different tax bracket, man. When you reach a certain tax bracket, like, you fail to be part of the people, man. You in the top 1% of the world.
I can't say that because if you look at Jay-Z and Beyonce's and certain mm-hmm. things that they stand for, Jay-Z's in a partnership with the NFL.
Yeah.
He was at the Super Bowl. And when they did the national anthem, him and his wife and his child, they sat down.
But he said that that wasn't a political statement.
It don't matter. He didn't stand his ass up.
Yeah, he said it wasn't a political statement. And so, is it okay to straddle the fence? Is it okay to say, eh?
Well,
and I mean, I get it. Business is business.
Even if it's not a political statement.
Yeah.
Everything that he's been doing as far as the NFL goes, he even told, I'm still not performing.
Yeah.
He not performing. His wife not performing. You ain't going to pay me enough money to get my daughter to go out there and smile for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, he's not going to do it. And even for the national anthem, whether he was trying to make a political statement or not, he might not believe in it either. So I don't believe he probably just doesn't believe in what they say. So he doesn't want to stand up. But that doesn't mean he was trying to attract attention. He, like, the camera was going to be on him. You know, I don't think that was his assumption of what was going to happen. So I'm going to make a statement when I did that. I think that he just probably feels the same way about it as everybody else. And you know, I tell my daughter, you know, that I'm not standing for that shit. And I'm like, I told her, I don't, you know, you could try to tell me that you learned it, and I could tell you, you know, that's cool and all, you know, the song or whatever the case. But, you know, at the end of the day, it says some things in there that shouldn't be said. And she'll know the truth when she's old enough to really know the truth. I'm gonna send her to school to start looking at race and certain things, even though, you know, she goes to school mostly, you know, maybe white and some native kids. And, you know, it's a little mixture. Some black kids and stuff there, too. But, you know, she said something to me one time or to her mom one time, like, maybe they don't like me because my skin is darker, right? And mm-hmm. that's why they treat me a certain way. And it's like, you know, maybe she's already at 6 and 7 years old experiencing her first amount of racism, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't really know what racism is, but can kind of tell that maybe they're acting a little funny, right? And it's okay. You know, it's okay to go through that because in life, when you're black, you're gonna go through things, you're going to learn some stuff.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not racist. You know, I deal with who I deal with. I hang out with who I'm familiarized with, right?
Most people do.
And that's
like, most people, race doesn't come into play until we start having these big conversations.
And it's
most of us got white friends. Most of us have a girlfriend or we've dated somebody outside of our so-called race. Most of us.
But I don't really have any white people I text with on a regular.
Yeah, but I mean, just even, there can be a conversation about, you know, because your daughter is half Mexican, right?
Right.
There can be a conversation between her people regarding race and how they feel, because we all know that they don't all get along with black folks. So most of us have somebody in our family or we know somebody that we deal with on a day-to-day basis that we like. We tend to like. We like, man, when this guy comes around, it's like, oh, man, what's good, man? We don't feel no ill situation.
Well, I just want
to
set the record straight. I don't like niggas neither, so fuck them all.
That's what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. Like, nah, so when we erase, like, if we erase all of this thing about race, man, and we just get to the core, what are your values? What kind of character do you have?
That's what it's going to come
know,
down to.
That's this, what it needs to me. Come down
this
to.
Me. And I wanted to touch on that. You said you got some people around you, and sometimes, you know, basically you described them as being opportunists.
Yeah.
And everybody should be an opportunist.
Poor character traits.
They have poor character traits.
Yeah.
Everybody should be an opportunist, right?
Right.
Because the same way I got friends that are doing much better than me, got certain things going on in life that's beyond me, and I want to learn from them, you know, it's an opportunity for me to learn from them. If there comes across an opportunity for me to be able to utilize them for something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use them for an opportunity. But
well, you can use
time,
me, but don't misuse me.
Right.
Exactly. My mom always said.
And at the same time, like, that's why I always feel like, you know, I am an opportunist, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I'm a shine, let me shine. You know, yeah. if you can utilize me for something the same way like I try to utilize you, do that. If you need me for something, use me, because, you know, I might need you for something one day. And it's a barter system, and I never want it to feel like somebody else is doing way more for me than I try to contribute back for them. And even though we might have different contribution levels because of maybe our pay grade or whatever the case, the situation is,
yeah,
it's never that. You know what I'm saying? It's whatever I can do for a friend, I'm always willing to do, because I want them to do it for me the same way.
Right. So, but I mean, I think that friend has to show you something. If that friend isn't showing you shit, and they showing you, you know, like I said, once again, you can use me, but don't misuse me. And when I say that, don't look for how you can have a free ride off of my back, and don't try to jump on a ship that's already sailing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to come to the table and you don't have anything, but you're like, okay, I see the ship is already moving. You know,
get your paddle boat, you know, and try to keep up.
Yeah, and keep up. Show me that you know you have as much. Otherwise, and the problem with that is, if you don't set those guidelines for people, man, they can bring your business down and what it is that you're trying to do down.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and you have family like that too, and it's like, man, you know, some people, they just aren't considerate, and some people just, they don't think for themselves. You know, yeah. They only think of themselves. Yeah. They don't think, you know, about, I'm a Libra, right? And, if, you know, we all the scales, we're all about balance, right?
Right.
So, anytime I'm in a situation, I try to think from their perspective and mine. It's just natural.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't do that. And it's honestly, it's kind of sad that they don't do that, because it's like, hey, these people got feelings too.
Or, right.
You know, what can I do to be better? You know, like.
Empathy.
Yeah. You don't, you know, even if I go, you know, one of my bros, right? Play for the Giants. I go out to New York, go fuck around, go stay with him. If he got dirty dishes in the sink, I try to clean them out.
Yeah.
Even though I might not have made it.
Right.
Or if the trash is full, you know, I'm already staying here for the free. You know what I'm saying? And he looking out, and the trash is full, you know, he might be gone or practice, whatever the case is. I go take out the trash for him. Because that's just good things that good house guests do.
And that's why you always allow back,
right,
too.
And that's why, you know, but, you know, when you family or friends and you guys is tight or whatever, what is it to look out for each other? Like, if you building something, I'm going to help you build the motherfucker. You changing the tire, I'm going to help you change the motherfucker. Like, you don't just stand there and watch a motherfucker do something. Like, if you can help and contribute, why not? But that's just my thought process, right?
Yeah.
Because I know for sure if I'm changing the tire, I'm trying to jack this motherfucker, I'm trying to do something, and help me out real quick with this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But everything is not like I'm using someone financial, or even if, you know.
You're not trying to ride off somebody's coattail, exactly, and not put anything back in. And a lot of people, I think, end up learning their lesson when they do shit like that. I don't even get mad. If you come around, because I give everybody at least one opportunity. If you come around and I give you the opportunity and I feel like you burn me or you misuse me in some way, I just let it slide. Now, I'm not going to do anything for you ever again, you know, in that aspect. You got to come back to me and show me some growth before I can reengage with you. But I'm pretty sure you're going to go out there and you're going to learn the lesson of the world doesn't owe you shit, and it's going to show you that. You know what I'm saying? And I want that, you know, I want to transition into this next conversation just off of that alone. Because that too but just off of that, man, because this younger generation, man, I'm watching them and I'm not mad at them for certain things. Like, I understand when you're young, man, you had this grandiose idea about what life is and you have big dreams and you think this shit is supposed to fall in your lap. And you think you got time on your side. All of these different things that you find out later in life are not fucking true. And I want to talk about this new generation, man. I think one of the big things, man, that's led us into the future is technology. You know, we have more technology than ever before. And it's only getting, you know, automation is the key to the future. Is the wave of the future, man. Most of these jobs are going to be automated, which means a machine is going to be able to do them. Everything is going to be done online. We are in touch with more people around the world. We can conversate with people in Germany and so on and so forth. But the downside to all of that is that I see a generation that's lost its drive to really fucking do work, to really want to do anything, you know.
New generation of fucktards.
Yeah. And one of the big things that I'm seeing is that this new generation is very expressive of how they feel about things. And I'm happy for that. I'm happy you all are able to express yourself and say, hey, I'm suffering with anxiety and depression. I'm suffering in this area to that area. But the problem with it is that you all are talking about the problem, and I don't hear anybody talking about the fucking solution. So you all are expressing how you feel and that you're depressed and you have anxiety and you don't always feel your best, but you're not talking about how to fix the fucking problem. And so you all are celebrating this shit, I believe. You're celebrating the fact that you're depressed and you're anxious and you're a cutter and you're doing all of these different things, but you're not talking about how you pulled yourself up out of it, you know. And so therein lies the fucking problem, man. I don't know, CP. I talk to these youngsters, man, and like I said, a lot of them would talk about how, you know, they're suicidal, they're anxious, they're depressed, all of these different things. But it's almost like, man, you wearing that as a fucking badge of honor.
Watching too much TV, man. They listen to all this Triple X and Lil Peep and all these motherfuckers rapping and singing about depression and suicidal. Meanwhile, I mean, you know, I mean, you do got people like Mac Miller that you know, went out. So they for real. I mean, people making music about their pain and what they really going through. But a lot of time, people selling records, man. This is what they seeing on TV in the industry. But I don't know if it's just people getting soft, or maybe people always been this way. But now that there's more social media and people are having an outcry, it's either becoming more popular, and that's, you know, like the bad thing, kind of like, well, you know, people always been gay, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, is it more gay now? Because now you have social media out here, you know, showing all the children and everything. So now they're becoming gay younger and they're becoming more aware of it. Or is people just being more outside with it because social media helps you exploit it, who you truly are? So does that's the same thing with being depressed and being, you know, suicidal and all that, right? You hate your life. You hate whatever you're going through, whatever, for whatever reason. Rich people suicidal, broke people suicidal. It's one thing they both got in common, right?
Yeah.
We suicidal or we depressed.
Yeah.
They got to find out. Everyone needs to find out what makes them happy. And I was talking to someone the other day, and I was thinking about this. It's like, what are you striving for, right? Most people like money. Like, what's going to make you happy? Money is never going to make you happy. It just makes you, you know, it's temporary gratification. You could buy some shit that'll give you gratification, but it's not going to make you happy.
Absolutely.
Like, what are you striving for? I'm right. Striving for happiness. What will make me happy? I don't really know. But yeah, that's what I'm striving for. I'm not striving for just to have a bigger house, just to have a better car.
Yeah.
Like, that's temporary shit. I'm not attached to this house. I'm not attached to that car outside. I'm not attached to anything in this world but my kid, really.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like money. I like to make money. Me traveling and shit, that shit makes me happy. You know?
Right.
Being a certain place. So I'm trying to go and do the things that I know make me happy, but I'm striving for happiness, and I really don't know where I'm going to find that.
I found my happiness, man, in just not being tied to so many things, man. The more freedom I tend to have, the happier I've become. Well, I'm not tied down and I don't feel obligated to so many different things. But also, just not worrying about things that are out of my control tend to make me happy. Like, I'm at the best place I've ever been in my life, man, because I'm not tied to how people feel about me. I'm not tied to, I gotta have that next thing, man. I'll be happy as soon as I get the next thing or the bigger thing. I'm not tied to any of those things that they tell me I'm supposed to have, and this is gonna be the key to happiness, because we found that shit is not true. It just tends to compound our problems a lot of times, man. There's no rule book that says one size fits all when it comes to happiness, you know. But I think a big problem when it comes to this generation is that when we were younger, man, everybody had to find their tribe, you know. But our tribes were much smaller because we didn't have the internet. So you had the jocks, you had the hot chicks, the cheerleaders, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it may be. Now you can go online, man, and find your tribe. You can find somebody that backs up how it is that you feel and, you know, that narrative. And then there's no looking around for groups that, you know, give you an idea of where it is that you want to be. Because you start to rest in that place, man. If you want to be a depressed, anxious cutter, you can find a group of people who are doing the same. And nobody in the group is saying, hold on, man, maybe we should be doing something different to change the narrative. You all just celebrate the fact that you all are in that space. You know what I'm saying? And so the internet has opened up this door to where you can find your tribe. Whatever it is that you're going through, you can find a group of people who are going through the same thing. and then not trying to find a solution to the problem. You all are just celebrating the fact that you're in a bad fucking space, you know. Or people just plug into the internet, man. They plug into these video games or whatever it may be, and they live in that world. And so the real world becomes less and less attractive for them because it's easier to live in this space where you don't really have responsibility. You don't have to socialize. You don't have to be anything whatsoever. And it's a bad place to be in, man, you know. But it's the pros and cons of everything, right? You know, yeah. The good, the yin and the yang, the good and the bad of everything. The internet has done so many things for us that are great, but this is the downside to it. You know, we got a generation of people who do not want to deal whatsoever with their problems, who do not want to be social. And the less social we become, I believe it's going to be a huge problem.
But is the internet making you, is social media making people less social or more social? Because I feel like people that aren't really that social in public can now be more social in on the internet.
Yeah.
And that in turn makes them more social.
Yeah.
Somebody that doesn't have friends can make friends online. And find friends. Somebody that's not very good at maybe talking to women or talking to men can match with somebody, and it's a little, rejection isn't as deep because you're meeting them online, and you know you can just block them, and now they can't talk to you no more. So now you're not afraid to be as social, and then it kind of breaks the ice when you do meet them.
Man, that's an interesting way of putting it. It might just be the way that we're going in, the direction that we're going in as a society. To where we're, this thing that we used to go out and meet people when we used to be social in that way, maybe going away at some point.
Nah.
You don't think so?
You're always going to see somebody and speak. If you're a social person like me, you're going to see somebody and speak. I ain't scared of talking to no broad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's a lot of people who don't, man.
I meet women online just like I meet them in person.
Yeah.
It don't matter to me. Like, you know, you get in a social environment, you just have to be in your environment. Like, every environment ain't your environment.
Yeah.
If I go and I be around people not my kind of people, I'm going to be quiet. And yeah. I'm a talkative-ass person, right? I'm going to be chill until I see, like, okay, they're cool, or maybe we have some shit in common, then I might open up more, right?
Right.
But somebody might interpret me way different when I'm outside of my environment. Now, if we out in the club and we in the section, we got some bras around, whatever, I'll speak. You know what I'm saying? Because this is my environment with my people. I'm going out with people that I fuck with.
Right.
We at the strip club or whatever. I'm with people I fuck with or people I know around there. And, you know, I'm in my social environment, so I'm going to speak.
Right.
But the same way, you know, the internet is great. Women you might not have never met in real life because y'all don't dwell in the same areas. You might be a party person. This person might like to go to parks and read books and walk her dog and let her dogs play in the dog park for a while, right?
Yeah.
And you guys might be on two different pages on something like that, on what you guys, ideal is fun. Not that you guys can't connect, but you might meet somebody you never would have came across. You know, just your chance to might have met them in the grocery store because everybody got to go there and get food. But other than that, the internet is great because it connects people that might not never have connected before.
What about the solution, man? We talk about solutions to problems because, I mean, depression, anxiety, and all of these things are a real thing. I get that. But like I said,
the problem is people identifying that they have a problem and then seeking help.
And then seeking help for it. Yeah. And I think that that's the problem that we're dealing with as far as this generation, man. I think they want to celebrate the fact that they have all of these issues. But it's not like, where's the song out about, I'm going to figure this shit out, I'm going to therapy? I hear the songs about self-medicating and doing drugs to deal with, you know what I'm saying? But there's nobody's talking about how they're fixing their problem.
Controversy sells, right?
No doubt.
So, you know, it's not always a triumph. Like, you know, people rap about the triumph, right? But it's always like, oh man, I came from the struggle and I sold some dope and I came up and I got a Benny off front. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Some shit like that, right? Yeah. And there's never a, you know, people don't want to hear, man, I was born poor, so I got a job, and I worked at my job for 2-3 years, and I became a rapper, and then boom, I blew up, and now I got money, bitch. Like, they don't want to hear that.
Yeah,
they
but then you
hear your struggle only.
Yeah, you got, but if you watch the interview, you'll find that homeboy went to college.
Homeboy went to college.
Yeah.
2 Chainz went to college.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You're going to find out that some of these dudes that you like, they wasn't just hustlers. You
yeah.
The motherfuckers
David Banner went to college.
Right. You
know what
find
I'm saying?
A lot of these motherfuckers was intelligent. They wasn't just out there on the block being dumb. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, you just got to look at it. J. Cole, all of these cats, man, they went to college, they got educations.
Shit, Pimp C. Exactly. Well, Pimp C didn't go to college, but Pimp C was the son of a pastor. You know what I'm saying? He had been doing music since his teenage years. He wasn't running the streets.
Right.
Most of these musicians were doing music. They weren't in the streets. They focused their time and attention on the thing that they wanted to do, which was music. They're rapping about other people's lives. They rapping about the motherfucker who the friend of theirs who's in prison.
You,
they rapping about their life.
You got your gangsters. You got your
you got some, like you, but it's far and in between. It's very few.
You got some real gangsters in the industry. You got your Gucci's. You got your 50 Cent's. You got some real gangster motherfuckers that really was outside. Like there wasn't nobody like, you know.
But is it more them or is it more the other?
I mean, I would say it's both. I would say it's more like this. He got a exaggerated character.
And
most of the rappers that's big, they're exaggerated.
Yeah.
Like, they was around the drug dealers.
Exactly.
They might have sold some. They might have watched the trap spot.
Yeah.
You know, and been inside of it. And they was just, you know, they knew a couple peoples and called a couple plays and middleman some shit.
Yeah.
They weren't the man in the hood.
The majority.
Right, the majority of them. But
so, like, N.W.A. N.W.A., for instance, everybody said Easy was a real street nigga.
Right.
But that's four people in the group. So one out of four was a real one. The rest were rapping about what was going on in the community.
Right.
And I think that's what you find most of the time.
But they still rapped about their experience in the community.
Yeah.
Being harassed by the police and everything like that. You've seen the movie and it's a lot of factualness to the movie.
Yeah.
And some of it is exaggerated. But you see that they actually went through what they went through.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people are from those circumstances. Yeah. But a lot of times when we're talking about people who were able to make it out because of their, you know, musical talent or whatever it may be, that's what they focused their attention on. They weren't really 10 toes down in the streets. They were, you know, doing the music and things like that. But then you do have those outliers. You have, you know, 50 Cent, Jay-Z. Well, not, yeah, Jay-Z is a prime
Jay-Z
example.
Jay-Z never went to no college, I don't believe.
Jay-Z was selling dope.
He was doing it, and Dang Dash, like,
Young Jeezy.
You don't need to do that.
Yeah, Young Jeezy, Biggie, you know.
I don't think Diddy went to college. He might have.
Did.
He did go to college. He did go to college. But he was still around it.
He was a promoter too.
Going on. Yeah, he started promoting. He knew what he wanted to do. But he didn't leave the street till it was time to leave the street. Like, he was still around certain folks doing certain shit.
Right.
And that's how he found his people. But I mean, yeah, some people that really, really was with it, and some people that just really wasn't, you know, but they just around motherfuckers that is. But I mean, in everything, like, most of the time, the people that's really, really with it don't make it to where they want to be, right? They could be coming up. They could be whatever. Like, you know, it's just like that. Most of the time, like, I was talking to the homie the other day from Fruit Town. He was like, Blood, I'm probably the most active. I'm probably your most favorite active rapper. You know what I'm saying? He ain't blue yet or nothing like that. But, you know, he's still doing his thing. But he like, you know, but me being active, you know, the ones that's most active is the ones that usually don't be able to get it out because they got so much other shit going on. They're still stuck in that lifestyle.
They going to jail. They stuck in the lifestyle. They doing other things.
So much time wasted, man. I got a bro, man. My bro, D-Moss, man. This dude has a lyrical ability to even make a song. Like, he could just rap, like, in San Diego. He was the hottest rapper, you know, in the city. He was Mozzie before Mozzie. You feel me? He was Mozzie in the city. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody fucked with him in the bitty, period. Like, you know, everybody liked his music from all across town. Niggas been shot behind that shit. You know what I'm saying? All that shit, the shit the nigga was making and cranking and what we was doing, what was going on. You know, it was going down.
Yeah.
But, you know, but by 18, he was already in jail fighting three murders. You know what I'm saying? By 18, he was already in jail fighting three of them. You know, him and amongst the other few. You feel me? And I was in and out around that time, going in and out, boom, boom, for different shit.
Yeah.
So it was like, before he got to hit his pinnacle and really get to where he wanted to be in life, he already, you know, 13 years down now, you know, fighting off some life sentences, trying to get up outside, trying to get in a situation where he could get back to making the music and all kinds of shit. And it's like, man, you just be caught up in that life. And a lot of people with the best talent, that's the realest ones that you really want to hear from, they don't make it because the streets get them, death get them, whatever the hell. You know what I'm saying? But
I think the moral of the story is you get out what you put in. And so if you invest in your time into your craft and making music, you're probably going to get better results. If you invest in your time in the streets and selling drugs, you're not going to get the same results, man. And I think that goes across the board.
It's honestly, to me, it's a lot of luck of the draw.
Yeah.
A lot of it is luck. Like, man, if you did, if you got away with this, like a lot of people that was in it, right, mm-hmm. was in the streets, got away with certain shit that they did, or maybe you only got a little bit of time. Yeah. And once they got that little bit of time, they got out and they was able
and
to
they invested their time
like
into.
You look at Mano. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He did all that time, got out, and was able to do his thing. You look at Meek Mill, right? You know, been on probation over 10 years or something now, right?
Yeah.
For the shit that he did. You know, you look at Chief Keef. You know, drew, like what he drew down on a cop or some shit, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All that shit. Luckily, he didn't get killed.
Yeah.
So now he's here to make music. It's luck of the draw. Some people got out of their situation without getting killed or ended up in prison. And then they decided like, man, you know what? And even Chief Keef, I'm not even going to say, you know, them little Chicago motherfuckers, that's your air. Yeah, look, them Chicago motherfuckers crazy, right? You got to look at them and say, hey, man, you know, if his song wouldn't have popped like it popped, would Chief Keef even be alive? Who knows? But when he popped and he realized, oh, man, I could do this. He shot his video at home on house arrest.
Yeah.
So that's how serious this shit is. Like, the nigga was on house arrest when he did it. That's how I'm saying, like, it's some real niggas out there. But luckily, his situation, he popped. And then Kanye West heard it. He always going to try to jump. You know, any big rapper to stay relevant, you know, that's a use and be used situation.
Yeah, I think the internet is a saving grace, though, because back in the day, you had to put your time in. You had to really invest your time. And now you can put out one song, it can go viral, and you have more access. Like, the internet, like, once again, the internet has changed the game. So you can go viral off of one thing, but... Like, back when Biggie was doing it, you know, we watched the movie Behind His Story. He had to give up the streets,
but
man.
I'm not going to blame technology and where we've advanced to right now on people's success. Like, it's a good thing to have it, but it's a bad thing to have it because record sales gone down and what rappers could make.
The yin and the yang.
The 360 deals came out and everything. But, I mean, from the beginning of time, niggas was drinking wine. Now you got all these vodkas and everything else, right? Niggas was drinking, they drink hot. Now we got refrigerators with ice cubes. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can't be mad.
The yin and the yang, man. The ever-changing.
They never knew what it was to have a cool, refreshing beverage. You know what I'm saying? Now a nigga out here, you know what I'm saying, got ice and everything he drink. You know, I can't have a drink without that motherfucker. We spoiled. And it's just the way the technology's going forever advanced. I told my daughter, I said, look. I said, you know, we didn't have iPads when I was a kid and hoverboards and shit. She said, what'd you have? I said, shit. When I was a kid, we did have some video games. I said, we had Nintendo. I said, Nintendo? What is that? There's some shit you don't know nothing about. You know what I'm saying? You might know about a Wii or something, but we had old-ass Nintendo.
I played that shit for maybe an hour, and then I was outside with my Super Soaker. You know what I'm saying? I was playing basketball. Yeah, I was both. Doing,
like
you know what I'm
outside.
Saying?
I like to go outside and play basketball, and I think there's still a lot of kids that like to go outside. My daughter loves to go outside. She want to go outside all the time. She want to be in the house. She's not even a real big video game person. She loves this YouTube shit. She'll stay on that and TikTok all day, but... If the weather wasn't so funny in Arizona, if we lived in California, every weekend
would
have
be outside.
Every weekend would be a beach weekend.
I'm gonna ask you, and I'm gonna end it on this note because we both gotta make it to the gym tonight. It's 9:41. Do you think it's less people going outside and being social than it was in our day?
No,
you don't think it is?
Hell no! It ain't less players making it to the NFL and the NBA. It ain't less players on the college football and basketball teams. If they weren't going outside being social, participating in sports, playing, and doing whatever they do. Like, yeah, they go to practice and shit. They might go home and want to play Fortnite.
Yeah,
but they still outside. They still being active. It ain't just like, oh, man, if the world is just full of a bunch of little fat-ass kids that don't go outside and do nothing no more and they're not active.
Yeah.
Like, kids still outside playing. They go to school. They still participate in recess. People still go outside. They don't just sit at home, like, and play video games all day. Like, I understand.
That's true. But they did say the childhood obesity rate was higher than ever before.
Yeah, but food is worse than ever before.
That's true, too.
So everything trickles into something. It's all on how you're raising your kid, the type of kid they are, what their interests are.
Yeah.
There's always been kids that aren't athletic kids.
There's
always been kids that just are drawers and painters, and all they want to sit around is read books and draw shit.
Absolutely.
They want to be, you know, or they sit around the house and they play pianos and instruments.
Yeah.
That's what they're into.
Kids like, are monolithic.
Nobody's ever going to, you can't never say that, man. It's so many kids not doing something. My daughter is 7 talking about she's a beatboxer. She got a rap song though, right? She got a real rap song and she talking about she's a beatboxer. And she keeps doing that shit. I said, man, you want me to buy you something so that you can start making beats? She's a girl. My mom's like, oh, you know, Cassie, learn a good song that you can sing and everything. You got a beautiful voice. She can sing songs too. She don't have to just make rap songs.
But she can be a producer if she want to be a producer.
But you might end up being a female producer. So I'm investing whatever your dream is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she's enrolling in tennis. She's going back out there to play more basketball. And she does gymnastics every Friday. After school, she got a gymnastics class that she goes to. So it's constantly keeping them active. But at the same time, shit, if anything, it's me that don't want to go outside no more. You know, and I'm from an area where we went outside and it's like, shit, nigga. Right now it's too cold. And then when it be this hot in the summer, it's too hot. But if we live by the beach and my daughter's like, Dad, let's go to the beach. Fuck it, nigga, let's go. You know what I'm saying?
I can dig it, man. Hey. Man, I'm glad you did this with me tonight. We've been trying to get this in for like a week, man. So we done made it happen, man. That's what's up, man. I got to get my ass to the gym, though. And I know you do, too.
Yeah, we got to get up in this gym. But as far as, I know you wanted to touch on children and not doing shit and being motivated.
Yeah, no, just the fact that we're dealing with a different generation, man. And that a lot of times we talk about the symptoms. Like I said, I appreciate these kids nowadays, and you know, I'm going to close with this thought. I appreciate what you all are doing as far as expressing yourself and how you feel. But let's have a conversation more about how we fix the problem, and let's quit celebrating the problem, is what I'm saying. You know, we're celebrating the fact that we're depressed and we're anxious and we're doing all of these different things, but we're not talking about how we can fix these things. And
I got a question for you.
I think that's important. Yeah.
Is the children being depressed the parents' fault? Social media's fault? What do you think? Because a friend of mine came to me today. And he said, did you see this shit about D-Wade?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no. I said, what is it? I said, I know it's got to be something about his gay son, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, man, you see he's going to change his, he's legally going to change his gay son's name to something with an A at the end to make it sound more girly, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, shit. He's like, man, that was my son. He came. He was like, my son just came home and said, could you imagine your son coming home tomorrow? He was like, Alicia Keys. Brought up Alicia Keys, too. Like, she posted a video. She was like, my son, I was going to get my nails done. My son was like, Mom, can I get my nails done, too? And she was like, yeah. Like, come on. He's like, would you do that? I said, listen. I said, my son said he want to get his nails done. Bow! You know, I'm probably going to sock him. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm probably going to hit him. I'm probably like, nah, son, listen. That's not what men do. Men don't go and get their nails done. You ain't never seen Dad go with Mom to get his nails done. That's not what men do. But I said, that's a young boy. I said, but now they was talking about Dwayne Wade's son. I'm like, listen, his son is like early teenage years. He's already made it a choice. I'm like, you're not talking about a kid that's 5 or 6 talking about they want to cross dress.
Exactly.
That's so if your son gets in them teenage years and he understands and feels that he's homosexual, it's like, what do you do? I'm like, if you Dwayne Wade or you anybody else, Do you not support your kid? Because his son could be on the other end of depression right now.
Yeah.
Because his father and his mother doesn't accept who he is.
Yeah.
That could be the leading of his depression. So
that can ultimately lead to him taking his life or anything right. else.
So is the parent the cause for depression because the child can't get through to the parent or the parent is not accepting of who they are or what their interests are? You're just forcing your kid to be somebody that you don't want them to be? Like, I don't want to have a gay child. Like, don't get me wrong, period. But at some point, do you support your child or turn your back on them? Or what is it? What is, if a child's not having a good childhood, I want to blame the parent.
I want to say that you support them, but no, you can't blame the parent because you can give your kid everything in the world and they still suffer with depression and anxiety and all of those
because
different things.
Because something else that you're not giving them. You can give them the physical shit, but at the end
of the day,
you're
not going to be able to give them everything, no. It's no way. And we're talking about, we live in a world where both parents have to work to bring income into the house. Most of the time, there's going to be a parent in a situation that's not doing as much as the other parent, or maybe they're doing as much as they feel like they can do. It's a hard thing, man. Navigating these waters of being a parent, or even just being a fucking functional human being, is a hard thing. And then we talk about the fact that at that age in your life, you're trying to find your identity. You're trying to find out who you are. You don't know who the fuck you are most of the time. And it's to be applauded when you do have a kid who pretty much knows who they are and they like, I don't give a fuck what nobody else thinks. This is who I am. But most kids are going through this thing trying to find out who they are and they're identifying with celebrities and other people in, you know, in the world to try to figure out who they are. So you could just support where they're at right now. Like I tell my daughter all the time, man, because my daughter went through several different phases. And I told her, I said, this could be a phase or it may not. Regardless, I support you. I felt like at some point she wanted me to be mad about the fact that she said that she identified as a boy. I'm like, I'm not mad. Like, why do you want me to be mad? She wanted me to be triggered. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm not triggered.
Maybe she just resents you for something, and now she wants to...
It's a cry for attention.
Yeah, it's a cry for attention. Now she wants to upset you because she's upset with you
about exactly. something. So then I pour into her cup, right? Am I supposed to fill her cup up, take all the attention away from my other kids, and focus all my attention on her?
I don't think that's the answer. I don't think that that's what's happening. It's not like a kid just wants all the attention.
Oh, yeah, but they do.
I only have one child.
Yeah.
So I can only speak to me, but...
So she has all of your attention.
She asks for... I mean, Xbox gets a lot of attention too, but she asks for, you know, siblings all the time, so that's what she wants.
Yeah,
but
she doesn't know what that entails.
When I ask her, like, hey, she wants someone to play with.
Yeah.
So that's where that comes in. She wants a sibling, so she has somebody to play with. But I always, I ask her all the time. She's the only 7 now. Mm-hmm. She's turned 7 in December. I've been asking her maybe since she was 5, 6, old enough to really think and talk, and even though she might not understand the true meaning of what happiness is, I always ask her, you know, are you happy? Are you doing things you want to do? Mm-hmm. Is your dad and your mom nice? Are you happy in your situation in life? Do you wake up every day? Are you sad? I try to explain it and break it down to her so that she can give me an honest answer. She can give me that way. I know it's like, cause you know, if you're not happy about something, what aren't you happy about? So we can try to figure that out, you know, and you don't necessarily get a cliche answer like, well, I don't have this toy. Like, they're not going to tell you that. They're going to give you an honest, genuine answer. So
sometimes
me asking my child, especially at her age,
mm-hmm.
are you happy?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it opens up a lot of understanding to things. She can complain to me about her mom, and I can record it and send it to her mom. So her mom can hear an unbiased answer of the situation.
Yeah.
Or she can complain to me about me. She can tell me, well, this and that, well, you're always doing this, well, you're always playing Xbox, well, you're whatever. And it's like, you know, you can take things and put it into perspective, letting her know that she does have a voice and she's heard.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus I'm just a parent, I run the show, you do what I say.
Yeah, I don't operate from that standpoint. But like I told my mom, because we had a conversation about it, and she was like, if I was you, I would do this. I said, but that's not the answer either. Like, there's no rule book that says that if I do this, this, and this, I'm going to create the perfect circumstances that will create the perfect child. It's not a rule book. And then we have individuals. And then going back to my daughter, and where the problem started to come in was when she had siblings. When she had siblings, that's when her world changed. So a lot of times these cries for help and attention are just that, man, you know, and you have to put everything in this place. I had to tell my daughter, I said, you're not going to bring everybody down when we're trying to have a group situation where we're all supposed to be having fun and you just want to be miserable, you know, and take all the attention away. And not only that, you're in a bad space right now. So you're going to make it a bad space for everybody. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times that's what it is that's being done. We'll spend time one-on-one together sometimes, and it's like, I'm just going to be upset for the sake of being upset. I'm trying to engage with you. I'm trying to have a good time with you. We're off on a trip by ourselves, just me and you, and you tend to want to get attention through negativity. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to pour into that cup, you know, and I'm going to let you know this is not what we're going to do, you know. But it's hard, man. Like I said, there's no rule book, man, for being a parent, and everything is circumstantial. Of course, if you have more than one kid, that's going to change the circumstances. And your daughter may want to have siblings, but when that new child comes into play, you're going to have to pay more attention to them because they're an infant. You got to change diapers. You got to be up in the middle of the night. You got to be holding them. That's going to take attention away from her that she's used to getting. You know, her whole world has just changed, you know. So, man, life is complicated, man. It's fucked up. But this is the reason why we had these conversations, man, because maybe it'll give everybody listening a different perspective on things, man. And I'm unapologetic about that shit.
Well, all the hoes listening, go follow me on Instagram.
Give them all your handles, man. Give them your handles.
Man, it's Instagram at @CPDAT_. And you can find me on Snapchat at W Balls. Now, at Ladies Love PDAT.
That's Ladies what's up, man.
PDAT, PDAT.
And most of y'all already know my social media handles, man. That's how y'all find out about the podcast. If you want to give your feedback, man, hit me up on chicagoghetto1@gmail.com. That's chicagoghetto1@gmail.com. Or you can go directly on anchor.com and give your feedback there. We on all platforms, man. Anchor distributes our podcast across all platforms. So go out to iTunes, man. We're on Spotify. I think there's two or three other ones, man. If you look it up, man, you'll find out we're everywhere. But the main one that we produce our podcast through is anchor.com. I appreciate the support and the love. And CP, man, I appreciate you doing this with me. You actually put your gym on hold tonight, man, to make this happen. And I'm late, but I'm still getting ready to get my ass in there.
It's all good. Yeah, the homie, he kind of pushed it back a little bit too, so it all worked out the way it does.
That's what's up, man. But, it always works out, right?
Exactly.
That's how I look at life. I always look at life like it always works out, man. Exactly, man. Don't sweat it.
Exactly, man. Look us up, man. We everywhere. You never there, you know.
That's what's up, man. Until next time, the Unapologetic Perspective in the building. Peace.